Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. I'm your host, Brian, at FPL USA Brian, and we are joined by a guru of FPL USA, Mr. Hunt, Mr. Connor. How are we doing today, sir? Thanks for coming in off the bench because we have both Bucks and Dan red flag. So I'm glad to have a fellow West Coaster join us on the show this week. What's good?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Thanks for having me on. I know you guys do a lot for the community, Black Wolf, Bucks, and all you guys, so I really appreciate you having me.
Of course, of course. You are one of the mainstays in our at FPL USA League's elite section, and you're having a great season, so we're looking forward to breaking down all the banter and craziness from Double Game Week 34 and then looking ahead to Wildcard, which both of us have activated the chip, so excited to break down what our wild cards are looking like as we only have a few more game weeks to make up ground in the ranks. So without further ado, Connor, tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, how your season's going, and where you reside here in the US of A.
Yeah, so my name's Connor again. I'm down in San Diego. So again, West Coast boys.
Yes, Bucks, sir.
The East Coast. We hate them. No. Yeah, just chilling down here in San Diego. Got into FPL like a couple years ago because I actually didn't really watch soccer. I played soccer my whole life. But I just wanted to get more into the game because when you live in the U.S., you don't ever have like a team. You have to like choose one because we don't live there. So then FPL is kind of how I got more into the game. And yeah, now I'm like kind of into the analytics of the game. I still watch and I still use that to make my decisions. But I would say a lot of the way I play FPL is definitely through review, FPL review, talking to other people like-minded with the analytics community. Yeah. And now I'm 20-something K and hoping to get 10K.
Yeah, very respectable. I know last year you finished with a very high rank as well, right?
Yeah, I was like 5-ish K.
Ooh, that's quite a back-to-back session you might have on your hands if you can get back in the top 10K for two seasons in a row. And great to hear that you're diving more into the analytics that FPL can present to the community. I feel like there's always different varying levels in which you can engage with the numbers, and it just helps you become a more informed manager. But I'm glad to hear as well, though, that the eye test and watching these matches and being part of the banter is still a key driver of your FPL love.
It always backfires, though. Every time I go with my gut, it's the wrong play.
Yeah, that's the kind of season I've been having, mate. I've been, all my 50-50s have gone the wrong way, so I've been messing around. But I did have my best game week of the season this week.
Yeah.
And that one is something we'll just dive into now. So I finished with a massive score of 135 points in Double Game Week 34. This one was very, very satisfying as I've had, again, just a really rough season, but I was actually able to half my rank. So that's a pretty good feeling. And still in a position where it's not even respectable yet, but who knows, with the wild card and bench boost left, maybe I can still get into the top 250K. That's the kind of season I'm having. But my team balled the fuck out this week. I cannot believe some of the players that added points. And in the craziness, I had Branthwaite get 20 points in this double game week. Odegaard, 20 points. Eze Cap, 28 points. Mateta, 29 points. And then had a few other lads chip in. The disappointing players were Trent, Salah, and Diaz. Trent did get a great Golazo free kick goal, so that was satisfying
to choose him.
Yeah, to choose him over the likes of VVD and Robertson. But I ended up taking a -8 to make four moves. And like I said, I was just in a position where I wanted to have some fun and get 11 double game weekers in. So I actually took out Palmer. I took out Son. I took out Holland. So obviously losing some team value, but made a massive score this week. So all in all, pretty fun little game week. So 143 -8, 135.
Was that your biggest ever? Or do you know?
That's a good question. I actually don't know. It would be up there though, for sure. Yeah. How did you fare this week?
86 points. That's crazy, the swing
Oh
this week,
man. I mean,
which is,
honestly,
yeah.
like we've seen around the community, there's teams in the 70s all the way up to like 150,
200.
160,
Oh my
200
God.
points. It the variance, and that's why it's a marathon, not a sprint. I know a
Oh
lot of
yeah.
managers who didn't have chips or didn't prepare properly for this double, and it really doubled down on why we prepare so much for double game weeks. I know the few before this have been flops, but this one delivered in a huge way. And oh my goodness, the free hitters. We'll talk about them in a little bit, but yeah, run us through the rest of your highlights on your team.
I got a double Arsenal defense. No way. It's just stuff I've been holding the whole time, you know, because just planning for this game week. As a Zabarnyi clean sheet, kind of lucked out on that one. Eze, Brereton Diaz goal. And then I got Darwin. I hate him, but I got him this week. I should have got Mateta, but you know.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where a lot of managers were looking at going with Cunha or Mateta, but then when Cunha went down and we got that team news early, a lot of managers flocked to Mateta,
Oh
and he
yeah.
comes in with an insane haul, 29 points, 3 goals, 6 bonus points. Holy shit. What a time to be a Crystal Palace fan for these couple matches, and especially in fantasy.
And then all the non-free hitters too, who we have like Haaland in, so then a lot of people are going to get different players off the bench. And for me it's Guardiola. So that's all right. But I know some
Yeah,
people screwed
hey,
it.
you could still get a 9 to 15 pointer.
Oh yeah.
That would be very helpful. And I think a lot of managers have moved off of Foden, so a few managers will have the likes of a defender from Manchester City coming in tomorrow, but I don't think there are going to be a ton of active managers that have Foden because he was such an easy move to grab one of the double game week midfielders. So we'll see how ranks change tomorrow. But quickly moving on to just highlight our boys who are red flagged. Bucks has had a tough week. He's on 84 points. And then Black Wolf is on 108 points with Ake to go. Both
You're
of
gonna get
these.
Doty.
Yeah, that's right. If Ake doesn't feature at all, he was going to get a minus one for Doty. So I guess he could go down to 107. But yeah, both those guys, a little bit of challenging weeks. They went with the captaincy of Salah, and that was an utter fail. He's just looked off the boil for weeks. I mean, but going into this match, I'd captained him 3 weeks in a row, just expecting him to come good and kind of going with the differentials here and there. But Liverpool, huge letdown. I cannot believe the performances they've put in over the last four weeks or so.
They just look so dejected. The Europa League loss, everything's just, the goals aren't coming. They're putting up numbers, they're getting shots, they're getting chances, but just not happening.
So many shots right at the keeper, though, or right at Pickford.
Yeah.
You don't have to aim at the keeper. You can aim to the other side of the net. Like
Darwin.
it's been crazy. Yeah, and Darwin. I swerved him this time around because of the pain he had inflicted earlier in the year, and I was very happy to own Mateta, that's for sure. Yeah, and then just thinking about some of the free hit moments from this week, anyone who free hitted in 29, which I was definitely one of those casualties. I don't know if you were as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is rough because I think I had 21 points on my free hit. Obviously, I did all right this week because I took some big swings and they paid off for my week. But man, I've seen teams, like you said, a couple teams passing 200 points, getting captaincy right with any number of players delivering 40 plus points for captaincy, and then having White, having Mateta. I mean, some massive scores out there in the community. And then the goalkeepers even came in, Pickford, Raya. Those guys both posted 16 plus points. Absolutely crazy. That was the only thing that irked me this week is fucking Neto just gets dropped out of nowhere. So I have
Bro.
a one pointer in goal. Did you suffer that as well?
No, I had Zabarnyi, luckily, but
Okay,
and then
okay.
Raya.
Yeah, that worked out pretty nicely for you. I was actually going into the game week, I was a little bit on the fence of starting Zabarnyi or Brandt because he was yellow flagged with his knock from the 5-0, 6-0 schlacking they took from Chelsea. And but I still stuck to the gut and thought that Dyche was going to turn it around, and they had a massive week. They get 2 wins, I believe, and he gets 20 points. So I
Two
have to get,
cleans is insane with Liverpool.
yeah, I mean, they should not have cleaned, but they did. And in a derby, anything can happen, right? So truly, truly a crazy week. So next, I'm just gonna pop up some of the game week net scores for our free Press Play Pod Premiership League. And we have a few teams. Oh, wow. We have Tiffany New, the finest hours. She netted on free hit 150 points and she capped Salah. So that is a tough go. I mean, obviously massive, massive week, but if she picked anybody else on her team, she would have absolutely flew. So a number of teams that either bench boosted or free hit were easily around 150. And she had the likes of Mateta, Odegaard, Trent, a few other players come in, White with 26 points, Elise. Wow, just a huge, huge week for Tiffany. So thank you for being part of our free mini league. And now we're just going to filter here quickly to highlight who is the top of the table because we have a hit at the end of the season that will go out to the player in first place. And that is FPL Street, aka Jim Roy, who is right now on 2,196 points. They are 8K overall in the world and are doing quite well. So right now they have a slight lead after this week, and he had 138 points this week to take the top spot in our free mini league. So best of luck down the stretch here. We have lots to dive into. So we're going to take our first break and then come back and start looking ahead as we have a number of wildcard options to chat about. We'll be right back. And we're back with Connor and I both on wildcard this week. We are excited to go through our initial teams and really talk about some of the conundrums and the burning questions that we are trying to figure out as the upside of Chelsea and Tottenham both having doubles is tempting, but where do we go for their assets? So I think right now, just want to get your take. What's your philosophy when you're setting up your wildcard team? And are you also bench boosting in game week 37?
Yeah, I'm bench boosting in 37, which poses a couple problems because, like, the doubling teams, there's only so many good ones. Spurs and Chelsea, like, they have a double double, but do we want that many? They've looked kind of terrible. Do we want a lot of the assets who have questionable minutes? Son got taken off 60 minutes. Madison always goes off before 80. Palmer's ill and rumored injured. I don't even know what that's what's
Yeah,
going on
what's that
there.
BS about? I heard that as well too. I mean, I don't know where he would have picked up an injury, like walking down the street, somebody tried to take him out, like.
In the beginning of the FA Cup match, he was already like looking weird, like when he was running, and he just played on, so
Yeah.
should be fine. But yeah, I think loading up on the doublers is good, but finding ways to differentiate where we can. I don't know. Liverpool, they have like decent fixtures, but they've been looking terrible. But yeah, what about you?
At this point in the season, I think a lot of managers who are wildcarding will have similar teams. And you just have to know that maybe a third of active managers are going to be wildcarding, maybe a little higher than that. I'm not sure what the chip usage is in the top 100K, but ultimately, there are still going to be tons of managers who've already blown through all their chips. Mr. Bucks, looking at you, sir. It's still, even though you want to differentiate from the different wildcard teams you see online, I'm definitely like pick your top eight attackers and then fill in the defense. That's kind of where
Yeah.
I'm at and where I'm coming up into a few problems as well. And you also have to understand because of potential news on Palmer's injury, we don't know if we'll hear more on the likes of Haaland, Pedro Porro. Is he going to be able to play? That is an advantage of wild carders being able to make those last minute decisions and go in a different route. So I'm super excited to, activate the wild card and then also go into bench boost 37 and have hopefully 13 to 15 doublers. And I think that's, like you said, is a doubling defender specifically, like Porro or Gusto, et cetera. Are they actually better than any asset from Arsenal? Because the price points can be similar when you're looking at Porro versus the likes of White and Saliba, Gabriel, etc. So I think that's a tough call for a lot of managers who will have to figure that out this week. So let's dive into your wildcard draft that you have right now, and you can walk us through. Let's start in the goalkeepers and all the way move it to the front.
Yeah, this is just what I have right now. Honestly, this was before the Liverpool game, so because I have a couple of Liverpool. Petrovic, Onana. I think Onana is like almost locked.
Really? Whoa, hold on. Tell me more about Onana being locked, because I'm just fading them completely. I think I'm going to have zero Manchester United defenders, because I don't know how they concede more than two goals every week, but they do. Coventry scores three. You see,
well,
Sheffield
bad.
United scored two. So like, so what, where's the upside, I guess, with Onana at 5 million?
I think there's just limited options. Like one of the slot is definitely going to be either Petrovic or Vicario, because you need the double doubler. And then the other one, it's like Onana or Verbruggen, because you want a doubler. I guess maybe Raya, but it's just doubling keepers are one of the best, like highest
high floor.
Yeah,
they have a high floor. And I definitely believe that. Like I've captained goalkeepers this season. Like in the double, I think I captained Neto in a double game week 25 or 28 or whatever it was. And Solanke had missed the pen, and Neto had actually made a few saves, and it was up in that transaction until like the very end. But you are right. They do have, with the save points, a possible bonus. If they can get it clean, you're looking at easily 10 plus points.
Yeah, I guess maybe I need to look into it more, because I kind of see what you're saying. Arsenal and Newcastle, that just sounds like they're going to get beat up like 4-0. Not 4-0, but they're going to concede a lot. But maybe they get saves, you know. Onana has been good for saves, so that's where I'm at
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I think right now I'm leaning Petrovic. He's also 4.6 million instead of Vicario, and both are conceding a ton of chances. So I think there is a little bit of a threat that Bob the Monster Sanchez might come in for a game later, but you'll just have to ride that out and deal with it. I mean, after I posted about 135 points this week and I got 1 point from my keeper, shit happens. You'll just deal with it. But we're hoping to get anywhere from 6 to 12 points in a double would be fantastic from your bench boost keeper, right?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a doubler. There's no way I'm going a single.
Yeah. Raya does tempt, but he usually doesn't get save points. The middle of the park is just dominated by Arsenal, and they don't really concede too many chances. But they are playing Manchester United in 37, so he could be under fire a little bit. But I think you have to go with both doublers on wildcard.
Yeah, and then I agree with you. Like, you go with the attackers first. So, like, the forwards, I only really see, like, four viable options. It's Jackson, Isak, and then João Pedro. I mean, he'll play. He's on pens. And Haaland if he's fit. And that's really the only four I see.
I would probably have to add Højlund into that. He did finally score a goal this week. He is going to double. And given their defense is so shitty, they do attack. They will score. They'll give up three goals, but they'll be able to score three goals. Probably not against Arsenal, but that match versus Newcastle at home, I expect that one to have four plus goals in it between both the teams. So we'll probably add Hoj to that as well.
And then midfield. Well, I guess we'll go back to the forwards, because right now I'm going no Haaland. And I don't know if that's controversial to say.
Are you leaving money in the bank to get him if he is fit for 37, or are you just going to scrap it and just save those funds and go elsewhere? What's the plan there?
There's a couple routes you could take. First off, I'm just doing that because we don't know, like, any updates on his injury. Like, last time Pep said he's fine, he was out for, like, months. Okay? It's like, only a little niggle, and then he's out for months.
That was crazy.
Yeah. And I don't know why he wanted to get taken off on a Champions League quarterfinal. So I just think it's a viable option to just go without and then either go De Bruyne or Salah or something like that with the money. And then if he's back in 37-1, you can get him, or you can just stick with De Bruyne.
Yeah, that's an interesting strategy. I do think that when Holland is not on the pitch and KDB is. KDB might shoot a little bit more and take some of those efforts instead of always pinging crosses into Holland. So maybe his goal threat actually goes up a bit, although his XGI total might falter. But man, I think KDB is an interesting differential to go for. I kind of fell into that sticky wicket earlier in the season and went for him in their earlier double and really committed to Kev, and his minutes were still up and down, and he didn't start both in the double game week. So without Champions League and with FA Cup being a week after the game week 38 deadline, there's no reason that he shouldn't play 65 minutes and start every match for City as they look to lock up the title. So that is definitely an interesting differential for people to go with. And I would definitely go with him over Salah at this point and just hope that he catches fire in the double. I mean, we just saw a player like Odegaard didn't score a goal, but he got three assists and bonus in each of the matches and ended up on 20 points. So that's something that KDB can definitely do in double game week 37.
But yeah, and then wrapping it up, my midfield at Palmer, Son, Madison, Foden, and then either the Salah or KDB slot. Because I think Palmer and Son have to be locks, despite all the fitness concerns. And then the other slots, you could go Bruno, you could go Gordon. I really like them. And then the mid for Spurs, the second mid, has been really tempting me, but I'm not really sure which one. Because there's Madison, there's Johnson, but their minutes are weird. I don't know if you've been thinking about it, if you want to get one.
Yeah, I agree with you that you have to have both Son and Palmer this week, whether you're on wild card or not. Most teams will have Palmer in place. Son is a priority transfer in, because if we get any news that Palmer might miss one of the matches in the double, Son is the overwhelming captaincy choice. So I feel like you have to have both of those players, and you're definitely right there. Then the trickle-down effect of going for another Spurs attacker is really interesting, because Madison is out of form. I think he's got five blanks in a row. He's an excellent player. He's one of my favorite players, but since he's come back from injury, he's just looked off it. And his minutes have gone up and down, although he has been playing, I think, the last two matches more minutes. Whereas Brennan Johnson, he's doing quite well, whether he comes off the bench or not. So he's, I think, a player that's nailed down that right wing spot and consistently is looking at to be at the end of some of their goals. So I also like he's a pretty fit player as well. And I think he's probably going to get 150 minutes in the double. So it's Brennan Johnson versus Maddo versus Foden versus Gordon. I feel like those are the combinations that people are trying to figure out what to do. I feel like if you're chasing, you have to go with double attack. Like if you want to chase the upside, you go with double attack now and then use a transfer later to maybe bring Foden in or bring in another player. Or if they catch fire, then you can keep them for the second double in 37. So it's a tricky spot, but you're firmly on Maddo right now. So give us a little bit more rationale there.
I don't know about firmly, loosely, loosely.
Because it's honestly, in the draft, so I'm making it more firm than it is. But I'm sure you got 20 different screenshots on your phone about which drafts you're leaning towards. Yep, that's the addict in us for FPL.
I think honestly, I'm just trusting the value on the expected points. Like, there's two games. I know it seems bad, like Arsenal especially, but it's another chance. And then Chelsea should be like a good amount of goals. And Maddo's out of form, but I don't really know about form's a thing, it exists, but it doesn't mean he won't suddenly like become the player he's always been in the next couple games, you know?
Yeah, I do feel like he has been playing a bit deeper, which is not as ideal for FPL, but he is a magician at times and can definitely create great chances. So I think for him, you're looking at less goal threat. And I mean, especially when he was at Leicester, he would shoot, you know, sight unseen from outside the box. But I think with Ange, he is, you know, developing as a player. He's really focusing on limiting some of those outside shots and focusing more on the creativity and the ball retention. And those are things that also help kind of translate to him in the national team for the Euros. And so ultimately, that's probably better for IRL football. But for FPL, you know, I see him as a player. Maybe he gets bonus if he gets an assist. You're looking at like a 7-pointer and one. His ceiling is probably pretty low compared to Brennan Johnson, just because if Brennan Johnson gets a goal in each, he's probably going to be on bonus. I mean, that's kind of best case scenario. So it's definitely worthy of dissecting a little bit and trying to go with the gut. But I can't imagine Richie comes into our thinking at all for 35. Now, he's supposed 37. To be in training. Yeah, he's supposed to be in training, but he's not going to start. He'll start, maybe he'll start one, but most likely he'll come off the bench in both and play 30 until he regains his fitness. But he would be an interesting player for 37 as a possible differential in attack. So he's somebody that's on my watch list, but I'm definitely not tempted by him right now. And I just think that the players in the front three for Spurs will shift a little bit around here and there, but right now, Madison, probably most expected minutes, but lower upside than Brennan Johnson.
And then quickly wrap up the defense. I think similar thoughts. I think there's only so many options. We got Porro, Byrne, Gardiol, Gabriel, and then Rogue, Shout, Trent.
Ooh, so that's a big differential for you right now. I mean, even after this 2-0 loss to the likes of Everton, you still feel confident having Trent in the side for 8.4 mil?
I mean, after the game, I'd rather have Trent than Salah. But I just think, like, we have limited options because a lot of people are going, like, Maguire, Dalot, United defense, or you have the Brighton defenders like Van Heck and stuff. But especially over the 4 game weeks, like, I'm not just looking at 37. Like, I'll bench boost him away to Villa. He still just has so much more attacking threat than every other defender. Like, 0.4 XGI per game.
Yeah. Trent is a player that, again, when he's on those free kicks, you expect him to put it on target. That was one of the hilarious points of the game week, I think. Little ramen noodle boy haircut. Elliot took the first free kick and just kicked it into the wall. And then Trent's like, nah, I'm taking the next one, and just fucking sank it. Top bins. That was a huge, huge moment. I was hoping for even more attacking returns from him in my side this week. So it is an interesting position to be in. They're, you'd have to say, firmly out of the race now with back-to-back losses. They're kind of, you know, it's between Arsenal and Liverpool right now, but crazier things have happened. Who knows if City slips up or Arsenal slip up as well. So Klopp has to continue to play him each game week. So that's an interesting shout. It's just so bloody expensive. That's the only thing. So if you truly go without Haaland for the rest of the season, then you can take a punt on somebody like Trent. But if you try and get Haaland back in, you're kind of definitely foregoing with Trent, I would assume.
I mean, some of my drafts, they do have Haaland and Trent in it. And I think
Salah.
Yeah, no Salah or De Bruyne. I think if you have high team value, you can do it. So it's more just like playing the odds against like some random crap doubler like Maguire. But he just scored, so I don't know. Maybe he's better than I thought.
Maguire is 4.2 million. I think he's somebody that can always get on an end of a header. And the way that Manchester United have to chase games, they do get a lot of set pieces and a lot of corners. So he's somebody that I'm not sure what the status is of Varane and Martinez. Like, I don't know if they're going to have to come into the side at some point. So those minutes could be reduced a bit, but he's by far their best attacking center back out of the four that they have at United, 4 or 5. So yeah, I don't hate it going that way and just hoping that you spike again, like what I did with Branthwaite this game week. Cheapest chips, gets a clean and gets a goal. So yeah, it's an interesting position to be in. I would just focus on, again, selecting your favorite 8 attackers and then filling in your defenders, because it's a bit of a crapshoot. Let's quickly transition to my draft. Right now, I have Verbruggen and Petrovic in the back. I'm basically skipping Manchester United defense and just as like a mini differential and going with double Brighton defense for no reason. But again, my season's over. So I have Dunk, Shar, Porro, Gvardiol, and Gabriel. So interesting enough to have three center backs in those rotations and just hoping for headed goals in double game weeks. And we've seen a lot of defender goals recently, actually. They dried up for quite some time, but obviously Benny Blanco chips in with two goals. Maguire scored a goal. Branthwaite. A lot of these guys have come good lately. Shar's a donger. He's 5.6 and a lot more money than Burn, but I do like his attackingness a little bit more if you can afford it. So I'm going with those guys in the back. And then right now I have Gordon, Son, Palmer, Foden, and Bruno. And Bruno is hitting a rich vein of form. He has really turned it on, both in the FA Cup and also in the league. So he's a player that we have some people have a soft spot for because he has put in 200 plus point performances in the past. But most recently, he's been what's the word that people have called him? A rat fuck?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. But I think at his price at 8.3, it's just a great shout because the fixtures are there and he's on pens. They've been getting a few pens. Garnacho is speedy. Rashford is speedy. So the pen achieving ability for them is pretty good. And I mean, since game week 26, he's on a big tear of goals.
Insane
and assists.
Form.
Yeah. So I think they're going to concede, but he's going to be pinging balls into the box. He's been getting a little bit more forward, which I think is huge for him. And to be on 18-pointer versus Chef U, 15-pointer versus Bournemouth, scores against Liverpool, scores against Chelsea, a goal and assists, I think, versus Everton or so. He's on a really good form. So he's a player that I'm going to go with and swerve the defense altogether. And then moving to the attack, I have Haaland, Nico Jackson, and Isak. Pretty standard, cut and dry, front three. I think Hoyland would be interesting, especially if Nico Jackson would have picked up his yellow card. Then I probably would have gone with Hoyland and just rode him out for the rest of the season. But yeah, people slag off Nico. He's a player that Chelsea purchased and was expecting him to develop off the bench behind Nkunku. But with his season-long injury and then re-injury, he's just played a ton of minutes. He's in a lot of the right positions, a la Darwin. He's a young player, but he's definitely fluffed them. And so he's somebody that you're hoping to get a few sideways passes to Palmer, which can definitely happen, and Palmer will sink the outside the box golazo. So that's where I'm at right now. My biggest question marks are to go with somebody like Foden straight away or go with Brennan Johnson or Madison. I think that's the main slot. And then kind of tinkering around with the defenders. Part of me is a little bit interested and curious about trying to change up the back line and going double Arsenal defense. And I think the main caveat there is bench boosting two defenders versus United in a double. I just could see United possibly scoring a scrappy goal when they're down 4-0 in that match. So that's where I'm at right now, but lots of tinkering to go. And because so many players are flagged, we could see some late changes. So that's where my wild card is at the moment. I think trying to figure out the trio from Chelsea and the trio from Tottenham is very difficult. Originally I was looking at Gusto, but he's a bit fragile, and based on the rest of the defense, even if he does get a random assist, I just don't see them keeping cleans in either of these matches. So I don't think he's worth the punt, and maybe I'll get some lucky save points from Petrovic, who will be most likely nailed in that position instead. So that's where I'm at. Anything to nitpick there, Connor, on my current wildcard draft?
I kind of do like the double Arsenal defense shout. I don't know. I'm just not too high on Brighton or United defense that week. And also, it's just, yeah, the weeks around it, because 38, they have Everton. Like you said, they're fighting for the title still. So I like that shot.
Yeah, and plus a lot of managers. It's kind of a shield against managers who are not wild carding they're likely to have double Arsenal defense. So it does keep you in line with those managers, and they're by far and away the best defense in the league. And we expect them to continue to get a lot of points. I would be interested to see if I could somehow fit White in instead of Gabriel, but for me, that's a 1 million pound difference. And I wouldn't be able to make the math work unless Haaland is actually ruled out for the rest of the season. So, all right, well, that wraps up this section. We're going to take our next break and come back with community questions. We'll be right back. Time for the mailbag. Thank you to everyone who is engaged with us on our X account. You can find us at FPL USA Press Play, and we appreciate, as always, helping produce the show. This is one of the most fun sections we have each week. So without further ado, we're going to start with at Barrister FPL. He asks, what Chelsea and Spurs assets to bring in? Palmer and Son seem like locks, but is Jackson really going to deliver? Both of the defenses are suspect. And that's coming from a true barrister calling out the defense being suspect. So what are your thoughts on Jackson? He really is likely the just shoe-in because of having the double-double. You have to go there, right? Even though it could end up as a Darwin-esque fail, but I feel like he'll get like 8 points. He'll get like an assist or a goal. I think he'll deliver one time over these matches.
He's easily the best option. Like Chelsea, like you said, the defense, terrible, right? So you're just going Petrovic or Gusto if he's fit. And then you have to do two attackers, and Jackson's like the only other one besides Palmer. As I said, he's just a shoe-in for me. Like the clean sheet odds for Chelsea and Spurs are around 20 to 25%. And that's for one clean sheet for the whole double in 35.
That's so bad. Yeah, it's terrible. So you have to go with double attack and then one defender, I would say. I wouldn't be in a position where you're looking to bring in two defenders from either of those teams. I would rather spend the money elsewhere and just stick with an Arsenal guy if you have to. But I think when you're looking at, like you said, the main differential here, and is something that at my Cayman fan, aka Matt, asked, is double Spurs midfielders essential on wildcard? So this one is really tricky, because heading into this week, I took a hit to bring Luis Diaz in. I thought his minutes were secure. He's doubling. He's playing two teams that, even though they're away matches, he's been in pretty good form. And he ends up with, I think, 3 points in the double. And you kind of relate that kind of situation to like a Brennan Johnson. Like, is that going to be a trap? Whereas you could just see Foden bracing versus NFO. And it's tricky. I actually like the Foden shout a little bit better if Haaland isn't on the pitch, in terms of him trying to go for a goal himself. So that's where I'm at. I think I'm going to probably just go with Foden and skip the likes of Brennan Johnson and Matto, but it's still up in the air for me, just trying to figure out what is the likely game script for both those matches.
Yeah, I think the problem with Johnson is, like, are you holding for just 35? Are you holding for 37? Because with Richie back, he'll probably be back for 37. And then what's the minutes looking like? Kulu hasn't been getting minutes, but he's still there. He could play right wing. I think you can punt, but definitely not essential.
Yeah, essential, I would strike that from the vocabulary. It is interesting looking at the head-to-head results most recently between Arsenal and Tottenham. So in September, it was a 2-2 match. Son had a brace in that one. Previously, 2-0 to Arsenal, 3-1 to Arsenal, 3-0 to Tottenham, 3-1 to Tottenham. So definitely a few matches sprinkled in there where you could see them getting a goal. And because of the derby nature of this competitive match, that they do concede. But it's really hard to call. And based on everything we've seen so far, maybe Son scores, but outside of that, everything else is just too hard to predict, I would say. All right, next up, we have a question from Graham Atwell. He wants to know, who are the best non-Chelsea and Spurs player to bring in? He's also says money is not an issue. He's got a ton of Australian dollars because he sold Haaland, and he's also happy to sell Salah because he's a plank. He's been blanking and walking the plank into the ocean each week here. So Salah could be into the bin. So other picks, I mean, Bruno has got to be up there. Bruno and Foden, I think, especially at their price points, they're super easy to achieve in one move. You most likely don't need to take a hit. But are we overlooking Gordon and Isak?
Yeah, the other one's Newcastle. And then players you probably already have, like triple Arsenal, because they're still good. But Gordon, Barnes, he's there, but he just got subbed off at 60. So I think it's only Gordon Isak for Sheffield.
Yeah, I think Graham, if I'm not mistaken, is a United fan. So if he doesn't have Bruno in his side, I feel like that's the route he'll go to bring him in, and it sets you up. I mean, the fixtures are so nice from an attacking perspective for Manchester United. They're going to be playing home versus Burnley, away versus Palace in 35 and 36. And then they have the double at home, which is going to be tougher, but Arsenal at home and Newcastle at home. Who knows where the status of Arsenal is heading into 37. So they could be rotating if they somehow lose one of the next two matches and City pulls away. So I would say I'm definitely into Bruno as a attacking pick, but Gordon is usually somebody who shits points at home. He has a stellar record at home. I think he has over 80% of his returns on the season is when he plays at home. And this Sheffield United match,
they're going to destroy him.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have a double game week, I think Isak would be a runaway captaincy shout this week playing at home versus Chef U. But because we have the doubles, we'll definitely be looking at Palmer and Son. And that's probably about it. Next up, we have a question from the Run CMC, a.k.a. Corey. He wants to know, are Manchester United defenders a trap? He's seeing lots of Dalot, Maguire, Onana in wildcard drafts, but can we really trust them to get more than 2 or 3 points in this double game week coming up here in 37?
Trust? No.
Definitely not trust. Yeah. Pray.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of surprised that Dalot is 5.2. That's a bit pricey.
I mean, he has good numbers too. He should have scored today.
Yeah, he was through on goal and did not convert. I think he got tracked down, right?
Yeah.
So Dello, I think Maguire, if you're going to punt, is not bad, especially if funds are tight, 4.2.
Yeah, I think for those last couple slots on bench boost, though, like we were talking about earlier, like I have Trent in. I think you just pick what vibes you want. Because to be honest, I don't trust any of them. Like, and if we're looking just like review-wise, analytics-wise, like Arsenal, it's around like 3.5 expected points at 37. And then like United and Brighton, it's like around the same. So even on paper, it makes sense.
Yeah, I just can't trust this United team. If you're giving up so many goals to championship level teams, how do you expect them to fare against top eight European contending teams in Arsenal and Newcastle? I just don't see them keeping cleans in either. So that's why I'm swerving the defenders, but there's just such a popular team worldwide that they'll crack into a lot of these teams. And I hope pain is inflicted. One other question from Corey. Yeah. Bucks had him on his wild card 25. He wild carded super early and he's just been sitting there, but he's had a few actual of his goals throughout the season.
He's had all his goals. What the heck?
Yeah. Crazy. And he needed them this week too. Bucks was having a tough week. So I think he's down and out with a strep throat from his little girl. So best of luck, Bucks, sucking down those cough drops and healing up so we can see you for next week's pod. Lastly, want to hear a question from Mr. Bucks, actually. He wants to know, is Klopp the most overrated good manager in Premier League history? Wow, shots fired from a Chelsea Blues fan right there. So what are your thoughts here as
Hey
Klopp
man,
exits the Premier
I'm
League?
just gonna say maybe Mourinho is overrated at this point, man. Fire shots back. I don't know. I mean, he has a certain philosophy, and he kind of like makes players better just from like the energy he brings and the passion, and players fight for him. And it's gonna be interesting to see what happens when he retires, because I don't know if they can really continue that. Like next season, I'm not really high on Liverpool at all, to be honest.
Yeah, it's they've built such a good institution under Klopp. Their players that rotate in and out, they're always ready to come on to the pitch, whether they start or not. And I think in modern football and just modern sports in general, you want to have a coach that has your back and that you really kind of believe in. Like these hard-ass coaches that are just like so authoritative and I don't think that works as much right now, with especially with the way athletes start getting globalized as soon as they're like 10 years old. So I think he's done just a fantastic job with players buying in, getting better, and they've competed for titles. They won the Premier League one year. They've been in European championships, and I'm gonna miss him because I do think the rivalry that he has with Pep has been excellent for the Premier League, and he's always been kind of chasing Manchester City. But it's a tough to see him go out like this with just this unpredicted, really stutter. Obviously, didn't have a lot of their first team players kind of in and out recently, but I did not see them dropping the ball like this even before 36, 37, 38.
It's been sad, but I don't want to hear an overrated Bucks, okay? That one season they almost won the title 90 something points. Like that's an insane achievement. They just got pipped to the title, but
Yep. Pipped and pepped is really what it
yeah,
is.
peps.
All right, we're gonna take our last break here and then close out the pod. We'll be right back. All right, this is usually our transfer plans and captaincy shouts section. As we've highlighted before, captaincy is pretty much a two-horse race, and a lot of managers will be going with the in-form Cole Palmer. But Connor, what say you for your game week?
No Jackson cap.
That
You don't trust him that much.
would be bold. That would be bold. Could he have a Mateta-esque game week? I don't think he has it in him.
Ooh, I hope so, but I'm not capping for that. Probably Palmer. I mean, I don't know if he's gonna play, but it's either Palmer or Son, and they have a double. You have to be there.
Yep. And there's no defenders. This could have been like a Reece James spot or previously an attacking defender, but not from these two teams. So I will be going with Sonny Boy as my cap. I have to go against whatever the trend is because I'm trying to gain ground and just hope that variance goes my way. And I was very fortunate this week to go with Eze as my cap. Gained a lot of points there versus the likes of both Saka and especially Salah. So that felt good, and I have to just continue to do that each game week as I try to rise the ranks as we close it out. In terms of transfer plans, I was just chatting with Mr. Bucks. He's on tilt a bit after a really bad game week. He's like, man, I want to rip Darwin out. I want to rip Salah out. And so he's looking at probably taking both of those players out, and because he doesn't have Son right now. So Salah to Son is locked, and then he's just trying to figure out which forward to bring in that doubles in 37.
Jackson.
I'm surprised he's not going with his boy Jackson. He
Yeah.
he's ESOC curious at the moment.
Oh,
So
okay.
that also makes sense because you could easily see ESOC outscoring Jackson in one game versus Sheffield United at home, especially coming after this loss to Palace. You'd expect them to put in a really good shift at home in front of the home fans there. So he's got a tough decision to make between those few players. And then Dan, Mr. Black Wolf, he's healing up. He's been up and down with his health. So we're sending him lots of love and lots of heart emojis as he goes through his health stuff. But he's still shooting for the top 10K right now. And he has his wild card activated and also has bench boost in 37. So I'm sure Connor and I will be dropping into his DMs and into some of our group chats to see where we're going to go with that. But I feel like they're mostly KDB teams and non-KDB teams are a lot of the drafts that I've been talking to Dan about. So we'll see where he ends up there. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me, Connor. Tell the listeners where they can find you on X and anything else to plug.
Nothing to plug, that's for sure. FPL Hunt on Twitter. Yeah, reach out if you want to join the group chat for the wild card. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think for us here on the West Coast, we're hoping for some green arrows and a little bit more information to figure out our final wild cards. But will you be up at the break of dawn for the deadline? That is the next question, Connor. Are you going to be getting up early?
Dude, I never, there was like one time I remember, do you remember when like Team News and Ticks was a thing or some of that one leaker? And yep. Then he made the sus video and I almost woke someone up, and then I don't wake up anymore, bro. At 3 a.m, bro, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, we have it rough here on the West Coast. I know Dan likes to get up because he's neurotic and he was trying to go for his best ever finish this season. So I think he might try and get up for some of these leaks, and we'll see if that affects our wild cards. But I'm hoping to have everything sorted before Friday night hits, probably have a few drinks, and hopefully hope for some green arrows from our Chelsea and Spurs players for sure. So thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us at FPL USA Press Play, wherever you follow podcasts and on X. We'll see you guys next week.